Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. It's good to be back to BPJ. Today, I'm preaching this sermon titled as Kingdom Choices. Yesterday, many of us made an important choice in the general election. And today, we want to make an important choice as well. And that is to choose to live out our faith from the inside out. Today's sermon is covering Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 27. We are coming to the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. In this Sermon on the Mount, there are many metaphors. I love metaphors because they make complex concepts easier for us to understand. Let me give you a quick example. On the screen, you will see metaphors. These are metaphors. It says that your life is a book. The pages of your past are already written. The chapters ahead rest in the hands of Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So these metaphors are not meant to be understood separately. They are meant to be understood together to grasp the main idea of all these three metaphors. So what is the main idea of these metaphors? The main idea is this. Your story is held by Jesus from beginning to the end. This is the power of metaphor. They enlarge our imaginations, cut through logic, and hit straight to the heart. Today, we're coming to the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, and we are going to cover quite a number of metaphors. These are the metaphors. From Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 27, it says, "The path we take, the truth we live out, the foundation we build upon." So we can't help but to ask, okay, so what is the main idea? Remember, metaphors are not meant to be understood separately. They come together to give you a main idea. To understand the main idea of these three metaphors, we need to understand it in the larger context of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus essentially wants his disciples to choose true faith from the inside out, where internal convictions align with external behaviors. Jesus doesn't want his disciples to merely focus on the surface or outward behavior. This is the summary, the main idea of chapters 5, 6, and 7. Let me give you a quick summary starting from chapter 5. In chapter 5, if you remember, Jesus urges his disciples to have greater righteousness as compared to the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, it wasn't that the Pharisees were not practicing righteousness. They were practicing righteousness, but they didn't do it out of a whole heart. The inside and outside is not the same. And Jesus tells his disciples not to be like the Pharisees who only look good on the outside, but the internal convictions don't align with their external behavior. Fast forward to chapter 6, Jesus tells his disciples, don't be like the hypocrites. When you give, pray, and fast, do it secretly. Well, it wasn't the people were not giving, praying, and fasting. They will. They were doing that, but they were not doing out of the whole heart. The inside and outside is not the same. And Jesus tells them, don't be like those people. When they give, them fast and pray, they were doing it to impress other people through their outward behavior. So that was chapter 5, chapter 6, and it flows to chapter 7 in the three metaphors that we are covering in our passage. Jonathan Pendleton highlights this. In the first metaphor, it says, on the surface, the white path looks appealing, but in reality, it leads to destruction. So this metaphor tells us in a little while that we are covering, don't be deceived by what it looks on the surface. The second metaphor says, on the surface, the false prophets look impressive in casting out demons, doing mighty works in the name of Jesus, but in reality, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Through this second metaphor that we will cover in a little while, Jesus says, don't be impressed by what you see on the surface. And in the third one, it says, on the surface, the house looks strong, but if it's built on the sand, it will not withstand storms. So these three metaphors, together with chapters 5, 6, and 7, tells us that this is the main idea of the three metaphors. True faith It's not about outward appearance, but about choosing to obey God from the inside out. Let me repeat. True faith is not about outward appearance, but choosing to obey God from the inside out, seen in the path we take, the truth we live out, and the foundation we build upon. Before we open up the scriptures, let us pray. Father, may you fill us with your Spirit to understand your word. May we not just be hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's begin with first point, the first metaphor. True faith is not about outward appearance, but about choosing to obey God from the inside out, seen in the path we take. Let's read from verses 13 to 14 from the ESV version. Jesus says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So the wide and easy way is not referring to evil, immoral actions. It's referring to something else. Scholar Jonathan Pennerton highlights this. The wide and easy way that leads to destruction is precisely what Jesus has been describing all along as living with merely external righteousness, while the narrow and difficult way is the vision he cast for the righteousness that is more and deeper than behavior. The broad and easy way is the way of the Pharisees, whose righteousness is easily definable and can be greeted out solely at the external level. Through the first metaphor, Jesus urges the disciples, urges us as well, to choose the difficult way. Don't just choose the easy way to look good on the outside. The first point of today's sermon, true faith from the inside out is seen in the path we take. This difficult path is not merely about presenting yourself as a good and godly Christian, but reflecting the glory of the gospel in all areas of your life, at home, in school, your workplace, neighborhood, and beyond. It urges us to have our public self reflecting, matching our inner self. So today, from the first metaphor, there is a personal reflection that we need to ask ourselves. Which path are we walking on? The easy or the difficult way? The easy path is a path that seeks to look good. You look good on the outside. Sunday when you come to listen to a sermon, attending CG, attending prayer meeting, on the surface you look good. But the difficult path challenges you and I to live out our faith from the inside out. Our internal convictions must align with our external behavior. Who you are outside must be the same person at home and in your inner self. There are two paths, easy or difficult path. Which one are you walking on? Many years ago when I was enrolled to NTU for my university course, there was an orientation camp. So in the orientation camp, the seniors brought us to stay overnight in Pulau Ubin. So at about maybe 2-3 a.m. in the morning, the seniors brought us badges by badges to this place that's very ulu, facing a jungle in Pulau Ubin. And the senior told us this, you have to make a choice. Either you choose the easy path or difficult path. You cannot go in groups. You will have to go alone. So the easy path is a short path. On that path, that's what the senior told us, there are many other seniors around, many other campers. You won't feel lonely. It's not scary. It's a short path. And if you take the path, you can get out of the obstacle very quickly. However, the difficult path is a very long path. No one on the path, no seniors cheering you along the way. It's difficult, it's long, it's eerie. But great will be your reward. If you choose that path, we will give you a whistle and a torchlight. So guess which path I chose? Which one did I choose? So I chose the difficult one because great is your reward, right? So as I was thinking, I was telling myself, I'm very sure the seniors definitely created that game based on this passage. So I chose the difficult one. Then I tell myself, okay, I don't need to walk all the way. I can run all the way, right? So it's not so scary. So I ran all the way. You know, till today, fast forward 20 over years later, I cannot forget that game because I had to make the choice, you know, easy or difficult path. Do I want an easy way out? A path that is difficult, but it leads to reward. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, are you on the difficult path? But sometimes you ask yourself this question, how do I know if I've chosen the difficult way to live out my faith from the inside out rather than appearing good on the outside? Sometimes we don't know, you know. Because we are not so sure, we are blindsided. So to answer this question, perhaps the best person to ask is people who are living with you. Your siblings, your parents, your spouse, your children, or even your domestic helpers. When you reflect on how you talk to your domestic helper, it will tell you a lot on whether you are living your faith from the inside out. Do that soul-searching question. Because on the surface, we all look good. Every one of us will look good. But where we are with God in our discipleship journey will be a question, a journey that we have to embark ourselves and do that soul-searching moment for yourself. Ask the people closest to you. So when my kids were young, I gave them the permission to give me feedback whether Mama is the same person at home or outside. So some time ago, my oldest boy, Caleb, feedback this to me. Ma, I realize when you're at home, I think you're raising your voice quite a bit. Are you frustrated? So guess what I did? I denied. I made excuses. Then finally, I blame. I said, it's because of all of you lah. Therefore, I'm raising my voice. All of you are laughing because you all can resonate, right? So that was what I did. I mean, the truth was that back then, I was facing a lot of frustrations at work and I just couldn't take it anymore. And instead of working that out with God, it spilled out and it spilled over in my home interaction at home. And that was when the Holy Spirit prompted me, Sharon, if you want to work out your salvation, you've got to work this out. You've got to work this out with me. You cannot just suppress, ignore your frustration and it spills out in your home interactions. I was convicted by God, and that day I thank my oldest boy. Thank you for giving me a good feedback. Thank you for being my blind spot mirror. And I give him the permission whenever, you know, you see Mama smiling to people outside, and then at home I'm like, oh, frustrated person, right? Tell me, so that I can work out my faith from the inside out. So today I want to encourage all of us. We are not here to impress anyone. There's only one audience that is worth us pleasing, and that is our Heavenly Father. What for look good on the outside, when actually inside we are not feeling so good? And today I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, live out your faith from the inside out. And to do that, you've got to take that path, that very difficult way. And that way is not just merely looking good. It's that you will work out your salvation. You work out your issues. And you will seek to be the same person, whether you're at home, in church, dealing with anyone on the streets, you will seek to be that same person to live out your faith from the inside out. And don't be satisfied or impressed by the appearance of your discipleship. Don't be easily impressed by the appearance of your discipleship. Today, God wants us to have true faith from the inside out, not to be just focusing on outward appearance, but to choose to obey God from the inside out, seen in the path we take. Secondly, the truth we live out. Let's go on to the second metaphor, and let's read from verses 15 to 23, and this is what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Wait a minute, Pastor Sharon. There's so many descriptions here. There is a false prophet, diseased trees, big bad wolves, workers of lawlessness. How do all these pictures come together? They all come together to highlight the same message. Because the false prophets are not those who are giving false teachings. The false prophets in this context is referring to people who only look good, look pious on the outside, but they do not obey the word of God. Therefore, they are called false prophets. So they are like the hypocrites, the Pharisees. They only look good on the outside, but if you dig beneath the surface, they bear bad fruits. They are actually wolves in sheep clothing. And today, God is urging us, live out the truth. This second metaphor is trying to tell us, live out the truth that He has been speaking to you this season. So how do we know we are not false prophets? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Just because we call Lord, Lord, we may not enter into the heaven. So how do I know I'm not a false prophet? The key is in verse 21. The one who does the will of the Father, the one who obeys God. Sometimes some of us subtly believed that as long as I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I can no need to obey the word of God, no need to do the will of God, I can still get to heaven. This is a very quiet deception, because even Jesus obeyed God all the way to the cross, obeyed God all the way unto his death. Obedience is not a way to earn salvation, so do not get me wrong. But obedience is a response of our gratitude to God for the grace that we received through our faith in Jesus Christ. So if you have a loving relationship with the Heavenly Father, it should be manifested through your obedience to Him. You can't say that you are a loving son to your parents when you are a wayward son. You can't say that you are very close to your parents when you are constantly disobeying your parents. It just doesn't work that way. If you have a true and genuine loving relationship with your Heavenly Father, it should spur you to want to obey God and do His will and walk out and obey His truth. So second point of today's sermon tells us true faith from the inside out is seen in the truth we take. It's not like the false prophets who only appear pious on the outside, but they do not obey the word of God. So the personal question we need to reflect this morning is this. What is one truth you have been trying to live out in the past few months? What is one truth you've been trying to live out in the past few months? Do you know? Can you recall? Could it be something that your spouse been feedbacking to you, your children been highlighting to you? Could it be a sermon that God is speaking to you for the past 1 month and you have not acted upon it? If you think a little bit deeper, and if nothing comes to your mind, you have to ask yourself why. Why? Are you here just listening to a sermon to gain knowledge? Are you going to CG to just discuss Bible study, to have a good discussion? The Word of God says you got to obey the Word of God. God wants us to be hearers and doers of His Word, so that we are not categorized as false prophets who only look pious on the outside, but we do not obey the Word of God. So whatever that God is speaking to you this season, this quarter, ask Him for His empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do it personally in your life. Ask Him for help. The second question is this. Corporately, how are we embracing the call to bring the gospel to every household in BBJ? Your senior pastor and also your center overseer, Pastor Edmund Wong, has been calling the church, bring the gospel to every household in BBJ. How are you responding to that call that your center overseer have discerned it from God and leading the church towards this direction? How are you wrestling with that burden? Honestly, I ask myself this question. Why bother to do that? I mean, Pastor Edmund Wong, if he takes over the center overseeing role, can just continue what looks okay on the outside. You know, on the surface, Covenant is okay, quite a respectable church. We do decent job in preaching the Word of God. We do decent job in shepherding God's people. Just stay that way. Why bother to lead the BBJ Center people to bring the gospel to every household in BBJ? And in the young people's words, in my children's term, they will ask, why so extra? Why so extra? I mean, Pastor Edmund could easily just take over and do the same thing and then maybe just not so busy, not so tired. Why lead so many CGs, 1,400 CGs, to do this? Why? Why not just cruise through? I asked myself this question, and I realized it's because we don't want to just look good on the surface. We don't want to be just a respectable church, a reputable church, just in preaching the Word of God. We desire our people to obey the Word of God. God placed us in BBJ, in Woodlands, in Sengkang, not to use their land, to bless the land.
Every Sunday we come and flood their car parks, use up the space in their food court. We're not here to use their land, you know. We're here to bless them. And the only way to bless them is to bring the gospel to them. Last Sunday, Pastor KK shared this slide, urging CGs to step up, step up, step up to bless the land by hosting block parties, number one. Number two, be blessed to bless buddies. Number three, community connectors. Number four, Senja Blessed Servers. These are ways to bring the gospel into the community. We have 140 CGs. About 50 CGs have signed up. We will do it. And what about the rest of us? If we have 140, about 50 sign up, that leaves behind maybe 100 CGs. If you have 10 people in one CG, maybe about 1,000 of us. How are you responding to the spiritual leadership that your leaders have discerned from God and leading you in this? You know, 20 over years ago, when we first came to BBJ, I was the privileged 400 who pioneered the land. Who was one of the 400 who pioneered the land? Can you just raise your hand? Wow. Can you raise high so that I can see? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If you remember, when we pioneered the land here, I was in a CG whereby we adopted a block, just a block next door here. So our CGs, we didn't just have 4 weeks of Bible study. We did 3 weeks of Bible study and then encouraging each other in our fellowship. But the fourth week, we were always here in BBJ, prayer walking the land. We prayer walk the land every once a month. We come down, we wash their lobby, we clean their lift lobby and clean their lift doors. And then we are always around in Chinese New Year, Lantern Festival, Christmas season. We were always around until they asked, actually, what are you all doing here? Yeah. So gradually, the residents came for our children's services, our English services, and our Mandarin dialect services. That's how Covenant grew, by loving the community. And today we have many new blocks in Bukit Panjang, many new residents. Old residents have moved out as well. Just this morning, I had a divine appointment. I called a Grab from my home to pick me up to come to BBJ. So I was chit-chatting with the uncle. Then I asked, uncle, where do you stay? Uncle said, oh, Bukit Panjang. I said, oh, Bukit Panjang? I said, is it near to the church that you're driving me to? He said, yeah, just across the street. So I said, oh, so the uncle shared with me that, oh, and you know, every time on the outside, I see you have a lot of activities, a lot of children, you're like talking to each other, like having a lot of fun inside in the building. Then I shared, uncle, we don't just want to have activities for ourselves within the building. We want to bless the community. So uncle is from another faith, and he asked, oh, do you have program for this? So I was deeply blessed. The community wants to interact with us. The community wants us to be with them. But we got to step out and bring that blessing to them. Not just to use the land, but bless them. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, true faith is not about outward appearance. It's about choosing to love God, obey God from the inside out, sin in the path we take, the truth we live out. Don't be like the false prophets. They look pious on the outside, but they don't live out the word of God. And therefore, they are labeled as false prophets. Today, we don't want to be labeled as false prophets. We truly want to live out the word that God has been speaking to you personally and corporately. And what are you going to do about it? Let's move on to the third metaphor. The third metaphor is this. We must obey God from the inside out, sin in the foundation we build upon. And let us go on to read verses 24 to 27. Jesus says this, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the wind fell and the flux came and the winds blew and beat against on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the flux came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. So this third metaphor tells us, don't look at the appearance of the house. Look at the foundation. And if you want a strong foundation house, the person got to obey the word of God. That's what the third metaphor is saying. So third point, true faith from the inside out is seen in the foundation we build upon. The third reflection question that we need to ask ourselves is this, how do I know the strength of my foundation? Because foundation is not something that we can see. How do I know the strength of my foundation? Sometimes God allows crisis to show us the strength of our foundation and uncover what lies beneath our lives. These moments, though difficult, are expressions of His grace, inviting us to return, repent, and rebuild what has been broken. Let me share with you a true story. Some time ago, whenever I switch off the light in my house and then to sleep, right, and then lie on the bed, I'll look up at the light bulb and ask myself, how come the light is still beaming very lightly through the bulb, even though I've switched off the light? Then I say, why, huh? Then I tell myself, is it because the brand of my light bulb is very good, even though no electricity, but it's still beaming? Then I also don't know why. So I just continue to ignore. I ignore because life is busy. I ignore and then I sleep. Fast forward some time later, then I realized, how come every time I switch off my switch for the fan would still be moving very lightly? I say, why like that? So I cannot get an answer. And then I said, never mind, I'm very busy. Just ignore, you know. Then one day, I had a choke pipe situation. And all the sewage came out from the pipe. And then the whole kitchen was very messy. And then at the same time, I had a sermon that I needed to finish. And then the fan is moving vigorously, even though there's no electricity. So I look at it, it's like, okay, which one to fix first? Fix the choke pipe first because it's very smelly, right? With a smelly situation, I cannot complete my sermon. So I called the plumber and then the plumber came. And then usually people come to my house, I like to have conversations with them. So I was telling the plumber, hey, I got a fan problem, man, because I off the switch and then the fan is still moving. And then the plumber said, I'm a certified electrician, can I take a look for you? I said, wow, not bad, huh? You're a plumber but certified electrician. I said, sure. So he went out and took a look at the circuit box. To his horror, he realized that the live wire is connected to the earth and earth wire is connected to the live. And that means the electricity of the house was never cut off. The house could have caught fire any moment. We could have been in electric shock any moment. And guess what? We live in that condition for how many years? Not 1 year, 2 years, but 5 years. We basically look at the light bulb and look at the fan for 5 years. And we basically ignore the situation, not just 1, 2 years, but for 5 years. And then when I look at this, I realize, wow, God actually sent a plumber who is a certified electrician to solve this problem for me. And then he asked me, okay, can you give me the contact of your electrician? So he called up the guy and he said, okay, this is what you did wrongly. Come down and fix the problem. And then the guy said, I'm very busy, I don't want to come down. And then I said, I know what you did. You have to come down, if not, I report on you. And that guy came down immediately that day and fixed the problem. So my house is safe now. Y'all can come to my house, okay? It's completely safe. So why do I tell you this story? Sometimes God allows a crisis to highlight something that is fundamentally not right. Fundamentally not right. And sometimes we have been ignoring, suppressing, denying, making excuses, blaming people. And we're not looking at something that is not right in our lives. And today God wants you to obey Him from the inside out, seen in the foundation you take. And some of you have been ignoring taking the difficult path. You just look good on the outside, but you know deep within you something is not right. At home, you're a completely different person. In front of your CG mates, you're one person. At home, with your spouse and children, you're a completely different person. You have been ignoring taking that path. Some of you are not living out the Word of God. And all these are showing in the foundational problems in your life. It could be foundational problems in your marriage, your workplace, your parenting, your relationship with your children, your physical health. It's showing some issues in some part of your life. And today God is urging you, don't ignore anymore. Whatever that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't deny, don't ignore, don't make excuses, don't blame others. Come back to Him and ask Him to help you to obey. Right now, I want to lovingly speak to some of you who are non-Christians sitting among us or even listening to this through the podcast space. You have met some hypocritical Christians and you have been deeply disappointed. Christianity is never meant to be a faith that looks good only on the outside, to be a double faced person. No. Jesus wants to transform His disciples from the inside out. And that is His deepest desire. And today, on behalf of the church, on behalf of all of us, we want to ask you for forgiveness for the hurt that you have experienced from some of these Christians in your lifetime. And God wants you to continue to seek Him. Continue to run to a religion that doesn't just modify behavior, but run to Him because He wants to transform you from the inside out. Continue to come to church, find out more about Jesus, or listen in the podcast space as well. Today's sermon is not an easy sermon to listen to because there's a lot of soul-searching reflection that you need to do. But at the end of the day, we are here not just to look good for the sake of others, isn't it? It's not worth it to look good for the sake of others. Let us live out our faith from the inside out. Today, ask God to consume you from the inside out. Love Him and praise Him from the inside out. Because when that happens, Jesus will shine very brightly through you. When that happens, people will know that Jesus is real. Your children will know that Jesus is real. The community will know that Jesus is real. A lot is at stake. A lot. And today God wants us to love Him from the inside out. Let us pray as we invite the worship team. All eyes closed, I want to lovingly speak to our friends here who are not Christians. Today there's a prompting in your heart. For some of you, sitting among us or even listening to this in through the podcast space, that you feel this stirring that you want to receive Jesus for the first time. That you believe He died for you on the cross. By the blood shed on the cross, His blood can cleanse you and forgive your sins. And you want a real transformation. You don't want a religion that looks good just on the outside to modify your behavior here and there. You want a real transformation from the inside out. And if this is you, with all eyes closed, can I invite you to raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Is there anyone who wants to receive Jesus for the first time? I want to pray for you. Father, we want to bless our friends who may be still seeking God and hearing this through the podcast space. We ask that You will meet them where they are. Help them to know that Jesus is real, that You will not only just transform them from the inside out, You love them and You're pursuing them. Help them to know the depth of the love of the Father in their life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let us rise and respond to God with this song, and I'll come back and lead us to pray.
Sing together. Thousand times.
Thousand times I've failed, still Your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in Your grace. Everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, Your glory goes beyond.
Come.
close, I just want to speak to some of my brothers and sisters here. God is speaking to you to take that difficult way, to obey the word of God, whether is it personally or corporately, to deal with the weak foundation that He's showing in your life, your marriage, your school life, your physical life, your workplace. He wants you not just to stay on the fence, but today respond to the word of God. So if this is you with all eyes closed, I want to invite you to raise your hand, to say, God, call me in. I'm not here to impress people. I'm not here to impress people. I just want to live my one life for you. Raising our hands doesn't mean we're raising up with strength. Raising our hands means, God, help me. I'm not going to love you from the inside out. I'm not going to praise you from the inside out unless you strengthen me. So today, Father, I want to bless my brothers and sisters here. They are crying out to you. Fill them with your spirit. Empower them by the power of your spirit. Let them be who you want them to be, to live out their faith from the inside out, in at home, in their workplace, with their family, their extended family, their aging parents, their spouse, that they will not deny, ignore, make excuses, blame one another. They will come back to the crux of the matter, and that is to live their faith from the inside out. So may you strengthen them for those who are weak, strengthen them in the name of Jesus, that they are going to do this not with their own strength, but the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.